Our text for our message tonight comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." We pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this is the time of the year when many people make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. And you think, okay, well, why don't we have July resolutions or September resolutions? Why are they New Year resolutions? Well, because it's looking back typically at the past year. And if you take the time, you start to notice some things about your lifestyle that you like to change. And, you know, you put some pounds on. And so you decide, I think I better watch how I eat in 2009. Okay? Or you bounce a few checks. And you go, you know what, I think I better be more careful with the way I handle my money. And so you make these resolutions because you look back and see some of the things that happened in your life. Well, as I was reading today's Portals of Prayer, that's where I found this verse. It wasn't in the portals, it was right before the reading. And I was really struck by it and thought it would make a great New Year's resolution for myself and, you know, for others as well. It basically says, you know, when I read this, I resolve with the help of the Lord to return to the Lord with all my heart. What a great resolution. And by the way, just as an aside to the message, I again just encourage you to take a Portals of Prayer with you. The new ones for the new year are on the cart. And as you do them, don't fall into the trap that so many do when they do the Portals of Prayer. And that is they get the Portals of Prayer and they maybe will read the reading. Maybe. And they'll shoot right through it. 1 Samuel 7, 5 through 12. Shoot right through it and then go right to see what the author had to say, what the devotional said. And then, amen, and that's it. And that's good and all that. But I recommend that you take the time to read the text and let God speak to you first. Then let the author speak to you. But let God speak to you first by reading that scripture before you read what the devotional writer has to say. And then don't forget to read the psalm that goes with it. Those are always very, very good too. I know sometimes you're pressed for time and all that. And so then you just kind of want to shoot through it. But if you have time, try to read the scripture and let God speak to you. It's a very useful way to use the Portals of Prayer. Okay, back to this resolution of Samuel. If we were to be honest with ourselves and look back on this past year, we would have to say that our devotion to the Lord was not what it could have been. I don't think anyone here can deny that. There's room for improvement. And yet sometimes we can say, well, you know, yeah, there's room for improvement, but why bother? I'm kind of content with the way things are going. Yeah, with my walk with the Lord right now. This past year wasn't so bad, you know. Lived my life, kept my nose clean. So it's been all right. I've kind of coexisted with the world. I haven't rocked the boat too much, and I'm getting along rather nicely. Well, the problem with that is God really hasn't called us to just go along nicely. He hasn't called us just to coexist with the world. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And that, by the way, that doesn't mean making friends with people. He's talking about, you know, buddying up with the ways of the world is what he's talking about. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And in 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So, you know, don't fall for that trap that things are going along well and you're getting, seem to be getting along well with the world. Because this resolution in Samuel is all about getting things back into their proper order. God first, with all your heart, and then all these other things shall be added to you. And if we have them in reverse order, as we often do, the truth of the matter is we are nothing but in the hands of the Philistines, which is the last part of this verse. The promise connected with this is that God will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. Well, who are the Philistines? As you read Scripture, when you read about the Philistines in Scripture, they're just types. I mean, they're real people, they existed, but they are type. They are a foreshadowing of, they are a picture of the devil and his henchmen and the ways of the world. And so, what he's saying here is that as we turn to God, he will deliver us from the traps, the snares of the world. And as we look at these, this admonition here to not chase after foreign gods, what does that look like? Well, when you start finding your comfort in other things, I know sometimes I find my comfort in food, and that's idolatry. That's idolatry. If you find your peace in placebos, that is idolatry. If you get your kicks on Route 666, that is also idolatry. 666 is the number of man without God. And it is basically, if you get your kicks living according to the ways of the world, verily, verily, Jesus said, "I say unto you, you have your reward." And on the final day, instead of being delivered from the devil and his henchmen, you'll be delivered to the devil and their henchmen. And so, very important not to chase after other gods. So, this year, resolve with the help of God to return to him with your whole heart. And he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. How do you do that? Well, you must put away, that is, you need to sweep the things of the world off the pedestal on which you have them. All the things that you look to for comfort, for peace, for happiness, for joy, whatever they are, let go of them and put God up on the pedestal where he belongs. I find it very interesting in this passage that they also mention the goddess Ashtaroth. Why? Was that really necessary to throw that in? Wouldn't it be enough to just tell us to put away the foreign gods? Why get specific? Why start naming names here? Why bring her into it? She was the goddess of fertility. Why bring her into this? Why does she get special mention? Well, she was the playmate of the month, if you will. And She was the queen of the attention diverter. The one who could turn your head. The one who could draw you deeper and deeper into the world and farther away from God. That's why she's there. She's a symbol of that which causes us to go, "Oh." Okay? And I mean, you see this at the checkout line of the grocery store. Those people who do those magazines, those, what do they call those? I don't know what they call them, but they've got two hooks. Every guy that comes through there, what do they have? They got they've got the woman that's scantily dressed or whatever, and the guy's looking, okay? For the woman who's more attracted to the emotional aspect, they have a hook of a storyline. You know, something that'll draw you into the personal relationships of these people. And you can see that that's why Ashtoreth is mentioned here, because that's the way the world works. It's a hook. It draws you in. Draws you in. Okay? And the question that we all need to ask ourselves, I think, as we get ready for 2009, what is it in the world that is the queen of diversion? What is it that causes you to go, ooh? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it sports? Is it television? Is it material goods? Is it busyness? Is it self-importance? What is it that gets its hook into you and pulls you away from God? We need to prayerfully seek to identify those hooks and then ask God's help in pulling those, pulling them down, so we're not attracted to them anymore. And I think if we would ask God just to show us what's behind the surface attraction of these things, if we would just show us how, if we would get a glimpse of how temporary and fleeting they are, we wouldn't be so quick to look. Money? Can't take it with you. You know? Popularity? Well, that fades with time. These things, they just fade. They're not long-lasting. And yet we get sucked into looking at them because they look so good on the surface. And we need to rather focus on God, who is the eternal. The bottom line is that all these gods seek to satisfy the cravings of your flesh. And this passage from Samuel is calling us to stop seeking to serve our flesh and to seek and serve God. Try to forget your sensual appetite, whatever that may be. It could be food, it could be alcohol, it could be sex, it could be relationships, it could be money, whatever it is, forget your sensual appetite and seek rather to satisfy your spiritual appetite. What does it say in the Sermon on the Mount? We'll get to it. We haven't got to it yet. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what we need to hunger and thirst for. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the real needs of the flesh, not the ones that we get hooked into and chased after, but the real needs of the flesh will be added unto you. So get the horse before the cart. Seek Christ and his right way of doing things, and God will take care of the rest. And he promises, while doing that, to deliver you and I from the chains of the Philistines. Set us free. We will not be delivered to them. And as you struggle with letting go of your Ashtaroth, whatever it may be, remember this and believe it. Remember it and believe it. God does not seek to eliminate comfort, peace, joy, and happiness from your life. You see, that's the big thing. We look at those and go, oh man, I'll get great comfort if I do that. I'll get great joy. If I play a lot of golf, I'll have a lot of joy. I'll get a lot of peace if we fall for that. And we think that if we don't do that, if we don't chase after it and do it now, it'll forever be taken away from us. But that's not what God wants to do. He just says, no, I will still give you your comfort, your peace, and your joy, and your happiness. All I want is you to filter it through me. You understand what I'm saying? That's all he wants. He's not going to take all that stuff away. I mean, he may or may not. But if he does take it away, believe me, if he takes it away, you're not going to miss it. But he just wants us to filter it through him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, and what we have a tendency to do is seek first the God of comforts, peace, joy, and happiness in the flesh, and we try to bypass God. And that's fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. Where's God going? Eternity. So fleeting. So, why not allow it to pass through his hands? Let that be our resolve this year, as individuals and as a church. Lord, with your help and by your grace, I resolve to return to you with my whole heart. And I might add, to let you be the filter of everything. And as we come to the Lord's table later this evening, let's take a little comfort here in these words. This is kind of a law-based sermon, you know, but God has a promise for us in 2 Chronicles 30, 18 and 19 for those who decide to seek God. He says, may the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God. How's that for a promise? May the good Lord pardon everyone who sets his heart to seek God. What a great way to start 2009 as we come to the Lord's table. Pardoned, and a heart redirected away from that which is temporary to that which is eternal. Amen.